Welcome to ASI Radio. I'm Michelle Bell, Senior Editor of Counselor Magazine, and I am here with Kathy Houston, the Editor of Advantages Magazine, and our other regular hosts are in New York at the ASI show.
Yeah, what are we doing?
So we have some irregular hosts with us. We have Joan Chaykin.
Very irregular. Hello.
The Managing Editor, and we have Jake Kralik, who's our Marketing Director here
at
ASI.
What's going on, everyone?
Hey, wow.
Howdy, howdy. I know. So much fun.
Hi, Jim.
We also have Vinny Driscoll manning the phones and Craig Veltri, who's our sound engineer.
Quick.
So, Kath, why don't you tell us what's going on today's show?
Sure. First, we're going to have a live report from New York, New York with Andy Cohen, who's standing by. We're going to take your call in questions about how to sell more using your supplier. So give us a call at 215-953-4979 because we really have all the answers. And let me see. I'm going to tell you about the impact of Japan's catastrophes on the industry. Jake, Cool Jake, is going to give us cool promos from
cool
South by Southwest.
Jake.
And Joan is going to tell us how to grow your business, even in slippers, Joan?
Yes, even in slippers.
Wow. So we have that and a lot more. But first, back to Michelle with the news.
Well, we begin this morning with positive economic news. A new survey from the National Federation of Independent Business shows that small businesses in the U.S. are ready to hire again. The organization's employment index rose to its highest level in 2 years in February. The survey also showed rising optimism for 2011, financial prospects of the nation's small businesses. On to government news now. The Senate is currently debating proposed measures to kill the much-debated new 1099 rules. The new tax reporting rules are a part of the health care law and would be a paperwork burden to companies if it goes into effect next year. Both the House and the Senate have voted to repeal the measure, but they need to agree on a bill before it can be signed by President Obama. Product news now. Expect to see more reusable bags in California as Santa Monica's plastic bag ban went into effect last week. Retailers and supermarkets in the city can no longer give out plastic bags, or they'll face fines and criminal action if they become repeat offenders. Plastic bag bans have been enacted in 19 cities nationwide, with more proposals on the books this year. Finally, nominations are now open for Counselor's Best Places to Work program. Interested companies can go to www.quantumworkplace.com/nomination/ASI, and that will be on our website as well, on ASI Central/radio. So now we have our friend Andy Cohen, who's on the phone from ASI, the ASI New York show. Andy, are you on there?
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
Wow, Captain Killjoy sounds awfully happy.
You sound chipper.
I'm happy because I'm in New York.
Yeah, it's hometown.
Yes, Andy, I'm sure you're loving it. So tell us a little bit about what's going on today.
Well, we got Education Day, and it's also setup day here for suppliers. So they're setting up their booths. If you hear some noise in the background, it's probably because it's a forklift or something that probably is going to run me down. But as David Blaze opened our Education Day this morning with a great session, it was a packed room. I'm also going to be doing a lunch session that's focused on 10 great case studies that distributors have run, so some campaigns that are unique and interesting that distributors have run for their clients, and that should offer some great insights to distributors, and then a whole slate more of education throughout the day.
Well, that's great. If anyone's interested in going to the ASI New York show, it's at the Jacob Javits Center for the next 3 days until Thursday.
Absolutely.
Andy, what are you looking most forward to?
You know what? I'm looking to go to the 40/40 Club. We have a gala here that is at the 40/40 Club, which is Jay-Z's nightclub here in New York City, so that ought to be cool. I don't know if Jay-Z and Beyonce are on the guest list, but hopefully they'll make an appearance.
That would be cool.
Are you going to wear a Kangol?
But that should be cool, and we have a whole lot of other stuff. So, yeah, anybody in the area, come join us.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much for calling in, Andy, and have a great show.
No problem. You guys have a good day. Now, Joe Haley also made me send his love, so I'm sending love from Joe Haley.
Tell him we don't send it back.
Tell Joe Haley we send love to the fish, not Joe Haley.
Hugs to.
I'm happy to report that the fish is still alive.
That's good.
Oh,
wow.
Thank God.
Oh, made the bus trip.
The fish is on tour.
Yeah. Rock star.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
So for those of you interested in reports and videos and a ton of stuff from the show, you can check out our website all day at asicentral.com. Next, we have some callers on the line who are going to be discussing how to work with suppliers to save money, how distributors can work with suppliers. So on line one, we have Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What was your question?
My question is, my suppliers are always offering to come to my client appointments with me. What's the benefit of having them come along with me?
I think if you have a really good, trustworthy supplier, it's great to have them come along with you because they know their product line best and best case studies of how it's been used.
And, you know, suppliers want distributors to be successful. So distributor success garners
equals their success.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So. And you can capitalize on the marketing materials that they create for their products. You know, it creates a really nice presentation. And it's nice to show that you're seamless as a distributor and a supplier together and that you work in that coherent way.
It's good to show that partnership to your clients.
I think, too, no one knows the product like the suppliers. I mean, they will know the best and the most creative way to sell it. They will also have case studies from other people who've sold the product that they, I'm sure, would be happy to share.
Right.
I know some distributors are hesitant to bring suppliers along because they feel as though, you know, the supplier may go direct. But I think that that's few and far between.
And I think, I don't know, these days I think a lot of people in the industry are kind of getting over that as they gain more of an ad company mentality.
I agree.
You know?
It is. It's kind of like therapy if you go together. You know,
that's
you get to work together.
That's right.
And then you gain a trust because you work together in the field.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you so much, Angela. We have another caller on line 3. We have June. Hey, June.
Hi, girls and Jake.
Girls and Jake.
Hey, thank you.
My question today is that I want my suppliers to be more like partners with me. Can you give me some tips on how to do that?
Well, I think the last caller just said taking them with you on appointments. Also, if you whittle your supplier list down to your top 30 maybe preferred vendors, they're more likely to be more of a partner because you have built that trustworthy relationship. They're more likely to give you price discounts and special offers and things like that too.
Also, they'll give you deals on self-promo campaigns that you want to do. You can work with them on Overrun. You know, they can give you extra samples and things like that. I mean, the more of a relationship you build up with your suppliers, the more they're going to be apt to help you. You know, it's funny. I did a session in Dallas, and I had a supplier on my panel, and he said that a distributor sent him a thank you note and a gift, and he said, now, when I get really busy, which call from a distributor do you think I'm going to take first?
That's
I'm going to take
hers
first.
And a lot of distributors, too, I know Danny Rosen and Robert Fiveash at Brand Fuel have implemented a supplier appreciation program whereby they reward their best suppliers at the end of the year, just along as they would for their best clients. And I think that's a great idea.
Well, and it goes a long way. Again, those suppliers are going to be more apt to help those distributors. I mean, there are a few distributorships out there who have, you know, maybe once a month, every Friday, they have a happy hour for their suppliers, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Acknowledge your vendors.
Right.
Wow.
Believe
that's
me, they will go, you know, over and above for you.
Yeah.
We have another caller, a frequent caller to the show. We have on line 3, we have Stanley. Hey there, Stanley.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to make just a comment that some of the best presentation sales and resulting in sales have happened from bringing the supplier in. One that I remember really well is that I dealt with Northrop Grumman and a couple other kind of businesses, and they wanted to see stuff, and I could have ordered a couple samples, but instead I used George Taylor, who a lot of people know, and other multi-line reps, and they come in with their entire sample cart full, and they show the entire line. They know all the product knowledge. I'm about to do that with Sanmar. Jennifer Dawson is meeting me with a big client. There is no trust factor because you just talk to the supplier and say, hey, you know, just they ask you for your business card. Just say that, you know, they have to go through the distributor. Mm-hmm. And it works out incredibly well. What I was wanting to ask you is, do you think that it's a good idea to bring in multiple vendors and do like a where you invite – I've heard people, you know, invite their clients down to like a hotel room where they have multiple vendors in there. And what are your thoughts on that?
Kind of like your own tabletop show, Stanley?
Yeah.
I think as long as the suppliers are all game for it, I would just check with them first and make sure they're down. But that seems like a strong way to show multiple products at once.
Yep. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much, Stanley.
Okay, thank you.
Call again next week.
You guys have so many good tips and things that no matter how long you've been in the industry, there are things that I hear that I wouldn't have thought of and things that people make comments of, and I just think it's a good resource.
Well, thank you so much.
Stanley.
Have a good day. Actually, we have two questions that came in over Facebook, so we're going to ask one of them. One is from Carol Simoli, who says, how do you approach your suppliers without looking greedy to discuss a way that everyone is happy with prices and products? So I think what she's saying is, how can you say to suppliers, you know, your prices are a little too high for me. I love your stuff. I love working with you, but the prices are still high.
Well, I think suppliers understand that distributors are going to be asking for discounts from time to time, and they know the reality of the situation. I mean, it's not going to be the first time they ever heard, you know, from a distributor client about reducing price. And I think more often than not, they're willing to, you know, go the distance with you and work with you where they can.
Say why you think their products are positive first before you say that the price is too high.
Right.
And then be honest.
Yeah,
you know,
diplomatic.
Come right out and say, you know, I love your product because it does this, this, and this, but I really can't work with it because of the price. Is there anything you can do for
it? Right.
You know, there are other ways, too. I mean, if the supplier can't come down in price, because for sure the suppliers shoulder a lot of the burden as far as costs, maybe there's other things they can do. Maybe they can waive the creative, you know, as far as artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can give you a deal on shipping, or maybe they can give you, you know, 100 extra overruns. I don't know. There's other things that you can work with them on rather than getting them to cut the price on the order.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The second question from Facebook here is from Melanie Avigliano Schultz. What do you do when you have a very good relationship with your supplier company and you feel the prices are getting too high? How do you approach them and let them know that they'll lose your business if they don't reduce prices, which is a little bit more of a tough stance?
Yeah,
you don't want to threaten them.
No, I don't think so. I think you would show them comparable suppliers and what their prices are and how you can get the same product.
That's a good idea for
this price, you know, and you really value your relationship with them. Is there anything they can do? I think you have to be more diplomatic about it than saying you're losing my business.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't think there's ever a time to do that. I mean, you could just not purchase from them.
Exactly. Right. But let them know,
you want, maybe they will come back, or like Michelle said, maybe they can't come down in price, but they can offer some other incentive.
But you're right. Let them know, because that shows them that you value the relationship.
Right.
Look, I'm looking at you first, but you're, you know, a few cents higher than this supplier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can you do?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, that's our questions for the day, and we're going to move on now to a message from our sponsor.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteYou. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteYou today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteYou, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteYou.com.
Well, Joan, you're quite
Yay!
The order.
That was
good.
Really nice.
That was well done. We're going to move on to Kathy now on a really serious topic, actually.
Yeah.
As far as the impact of Japan's catastrophes, the tsunami and the earthquake, and how it's affecting this industry.
Yeah, well, you know, it's half a world away, but of course, the tsunami and the catastrophes in Japan have affected this industry, specifically with flash memory prices, which have soared after the whole thing. And let's see, the price of Japanese-produced flash memory chips, which are used in items like personal computer smartphones and USB drives, you know, which are very prevalent in this industry, have risen sharply among fears of a supply shortage. Alama Gowan from our counselor supplier for USB drives, iClick, says it's going to be very difficult for the next week because prices are in such flux. And I would venture to say it's going to be very difficult for the next few weeks. Peter Hirsch, who's owner of supplier firm Hirsch Gifts, Inc., says due to the disaster, the world market and supply of memory chips has been severely affected. And he says approximately 40% of the world production of memory chips is manufactured in Japan. That, of course, is now zero. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a big, you know, supply shortage for a while, and the prices are going to have to increase as a result. Also, Dan Towns of Shipenko mentioned something that might be a little bit surprising, but he says some of the pigments that are used in the manufacturing of their pencils and pens come from Japan. Mm-hmm. So now the pigments for these products will be changed to a USA supplier. There's going to be a slight variation probably in these color changing items, and due to the change in vendors, the cost will be increased, but Shipenko, for one, is holding the costs steady through the end of April. But it really is affecting a lot of products, things you don't even think about,
yeah.
Right?
Sure.
As Dan also mentions, maybe not the whole product is produced in Japan, but parts.
Components, for sure.
You know what I mean? Components Absolutely. Of certain products. So it's really, you know, it's a tragedy all around.
The thing is, there's, in for sure, in the case of the USB mechanisms, it's not like there's another marketplace that can kind of just step right. up and take over the
right.
production.
Right.
There isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So David Nicholson, for one, from who's the CEO of Polyconcept North America, sent out a letter on behalf of Leeds, mm-hmm. who manufactures USB drives, and he said, you know, we have enough in stock, but when we have to reorder that, in effect, that's when you're going to see the price increases.
Right, right.
So,
and of course,
you need to check in.
Distributors, you have to explain these things to your clients as well, and they're going to understand. They know what's going on in the world. So, you know, honesty, the best policy.
Honesty is the best
yep.
policy.
Absolutely. Jakey, we're going to talk to our little Jakey now, who's our music man. South by Southwest just happened in Austin.
Just happened. Just finished up on Sunday.
So why don't you tell us about some cool promotions that happened?
Sure. I had a few different things I want to talk about
Fabulous.
About South by Southwest. Starting it off there, I have this thing in front of me. It's there's product launches at all the times. And you're laughing at me.
It's not going to be a ringing endorsement, I'm sure.
So, well, listen. The Peel Universal Remote is an Apple-based product. And basically what they did was they did this product launch there. And the long and the short of it is, it turns your iPhone, your iPod Touch, and your iPad into a remote system that recognizes your TV, your DVD player, your stereo, and it basically forms habits, your watching habits, your listening habits, and it helps make recommendations to your phone as you use it as a remote. The big story in South by Southwest was they did a launch of the product because it kind of looks like a pear, so what they did, they went out and bought 15,000 pears and stuck fruit stickers on them with their company logo on them and a URL that went to a video about this thing, and they passed them out to the
people. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You know,
Jake's not impressed.
I'm not that impressed.
Jake's
you know, I'm
a marketing
not a,
guy.
I'm just not a fan. Well, I mean, I like the marketing idea, but I'm not a – I'm not a fan of
– Apple.
Of Apple, really. I mean, I feel like –
And why are they using pears?
Yeah, why not?
Appeal.
I'm on a better note, though, from South by Southwest, I want to bring in positive stuff. The Interactive Awards were in South by Southwest. And this week on my new marketing blog, which is on asicentral.com, and it's on the homepage under marketing, I talk about one of the award winners was Chris Milk. And Chris Milk, if you don't know who he is, but he's this music video director. And he did this piece of interactive design / HTML5 interactivity work called The Wilderness Downtown for a band that's near and dear to my heart, the Arcade Fire. He also, not only did he win for this project and the Johnny Cash project, but he really kind of was showcased at South by Southwest, and I think it's a wonderful thing for this director. So if you go to the marketing blog on ASI Central site, you can see that. You can also see about some of the wonderful music coming out of South by Southwest.
Cool.
Just a really cool event that just went down. That's what I have to say before
Jake.
I get cut off.
I love your blog, Jake.
Thanks. It's blowing up right now.
Joan, tell us about growing your business and even in slippers, apparently.
Well, this woman, she started her own online sort of like a secretary called Cyber Terry, and she offers some tips, which she wasn't even – she was surprised by her own success because it grew so fast. So the part about working from home, obviously you can wear your slippers and your holy sweatpants and your
– Kathy,
that's what I do.
Your Led Zeppelin t-shirt, whatever, and that's Kathy. But when obviously if you're going to make an appearance in front of a client, you need to put your best foot forward and put your best suit on and your
not all, your best all slipper.
Your business collateral, your business card, your everything. So, you know, want to make a good appearance. But, you know, some of the other things is just to be prepared. Being prepared can be the best groundwork for growth, and obviously hard work and preparation. A good business sense means knowing when to be hands-on, when it pays just to sit back and let things happen. But also have an open mind. So, and don't be afraid to veer off track when a good opportunity presents itself. Don't just, you know, stick to the same thing all the time. Another thing is think big. So even if you're a small business, act like you are a larger business. So make sure your goals, every plan, solve every problem as if it were a larger business. And you have to build your infrastructure for growth so that your systems are ready when the big opportunities do come along. What else? So you want to be financially organized. So not only do you need to pay every bill on time and tax bill and everything, but you have to be able to retrieve important financial information. So if a client calls and they want an invoice number, you're scuffling around trying to find it, you know, you you might lose some confidence. The client might lose confidence, like, this person doesn't know what they're doing. So, you know, always have things that know where everything is. And
well, that's great. Yeah. Thank you. So that segues perfectly into Kathy's segment on spring cleaning your business.
Yes. All right. Well, we've got a great article coming up in April, Advantages, so be on the lookout for that. And it's all about spring cleaning your business in various areas to improve your sales and your bottom line. An important thing, of course, is to weed out bad clients. So how do you decide who they are? Well, one of my advisory board members, Kevin Sharnak, he's of 14 West. He looks at these metrics: total sales volume, number of projects, and average order size. And just because someone doesn't seem to be meeting all your metrics doesn't mean they can't be turned around. Even mediocre clients can be rehabbed, so to speak.
How do you turn them around?
One particular client of Kevin's, he told me about, provided a nice six-figure annual sales volume, but they had to work really hard for that business, and it amounted to a large number of small, high-maintenance accounts. Well, what Kevin did is he had a good relationship with this client, so he showed them the numbers. This is what we're working on for you, and this is what it's amounting to. And the client was really blown away by that. So that was how he kind of saved that relationship and gave them an honest reality check. And I recommend that. A lot of distributors do that with clients who are on the fence, borderline bad. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
They can often be turned around. They don't realize what they're doing to you. And that you are
That's a really good point.
Too.
That is a good point.
Another tip, as I mentioned before, is to put suppliers on the short list too. When it comes to suppliers, relationships, timelines, and consistency are key. And everybody has to remember, you're only as good as your vendor. So really work with those that you have a loyal, trusting relationship with and who provide high quality products and work with you on price when they can. So those are the two top tips.
That's great.
I cleaned my desk for spring.
That's awesome, Jake.
I love that.
I cleaned my kitchen.
So we're going to go back to Jakey now, who, as he said, just started his own blog on asicentral.com. It's under the marketing tab, which hopefully soon will have Jake's name on it.
It's not going to ever get my name on it.
Aww.
No. Jakey, give us some tips for blogging.
Blogging is fun.
For you.
Yeah. No, you know what?
Maniacal laugh.
You know what? I was going to go through these 12 things, but I'm going to give you three tips that I really find useful, and they're at the end of the day, great content, no matter how great it is, you got to market it. And here are three really simple things to do. One, get on a radio show and then plug it all through the radio show.
Kidding.
You want to, the first thing you should focus on are the keywords that you use. You know, SEO is just it's the name of the game, and that's how you.
For those of us who don't know what that is, can you explain
what
that is?
Search engine optimization.
Apparently everyone knew what it was, but you, Michelle. But keywords, you know, Google's got their AdWords keyword selection tool that allows you to kind of see what words are really key that you want to highlight. And if you have a blog, basically any blog frame allows you to separate what, you know, the meta tags are and allows you to plug in keywords so that meta crawlers will pick those up. I can't recommend enough getting the name of your blog, your name, the content name, the article name, just the basic stuff you want to always do, but then also think about what else you want to have in there. Another great tip, and you can't knock Twitter. Everyone always asks, what does Twitter do? Well, I mean, Twitter is your microblog, and I'll say it over and over again. It's your microblog, but use it to promote your regular blog. Just shorten the URL with either Bitly or one of the URL shorteners out there, and plug it out to your audience. And as you gain followers on Twitter, you'll gain followers on your blog. The last thing is one that I really like to do. I don't do it as much as I used to. I used to get on chat boards a lot more, especially for the music world, because you find out about things that way. But these chat boards have thousands of people that are on there every day, and they will drive traffic to your blog. So find the chat board that relates to the content on your blog and start posting on there. Not just about your blog, because no one likes a self-promoter all the time. Answer other people's questions first, and then promote your blog.
Yeah, those are great tips. If you have a Facebook page,
definitely
promote it there. Not, like you said, don't keep hounding people about
it. Facebook is another great way. I mean, we could go on. There's a bunch of tips, too. We could talk about YouTube and some of the other social networks. But, yeah, definitely
promote. But I'm sure we can read all about it in Jake's blog.
Not really. I try to not talk about stuff like that. I try to keep my blog light.
All right, never mind then. Did you know that yesterday was Twitter's 5-year anniversary?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You know where Twitter launched?
Twitterville?
South by Southwest.
Whoa.
How about that? Well, we're going to put all the articles that we talked about today on our website on asicentral.com/radio.
Do you know who invented it?
Yeah, some guy.
Well, I just thought it was a bluebird.
No, it was, oh gosh, Now I can't remember.
It was a guy, a skinny guy that my son interviewed last year.
And he was really? Fired. Yeah. He was fired.
Yes, they just wrote about him in Vanity Fair magazine. Yeah.
Do you remember his name?
Something Jack Dorsey.
That's right. Jack Dorsey. Jack Dorsey.
There's a great profile on him in Vanity Fair in the March issue.
There was also a great profile of him in the TCNJ Signal, my son's college newspaper.
Nice.
So we're gonna do our favorite segment now, which is our favorite things, where we talk about our favorite products of the week.
Great.
So, Kathy, let's start with you.
All right. Well, I have one just in time for summer camp and summer activities. It's a T-shirt, the Insect Shield T-shirt from Zorel International, ASI 99550. These T-shirts come in a variety of colors. Some of them are high visibility. They come in adult, male, female, and youth sizes, which I think are great for daycare and summer camps. They're super high performance. Not only are they moisture wicking, but they have UV protection. And this I love. They're treated with an odorless bug repellent, so they repel mosquitoes, ticks, ants, all kinds of disgusting creatures. So you know, get those T-shirts.
Great. And you can see all of these products on asicentral.com/radio. Joan, what's your favorite product?
Well, there's a lot of restaurants near me that are bring your own bottle. Mm-hmm. So I love this. It's called the Upper West Side Wine Case Traveler, and it holds two bottles of wine.
Glug, glug, Joan.
Yes.
I like that too.
Well, you can bring a white and a red.
That's what we do.
Right. And it also has it comes with its corkscrew, because I've gone to places, like hotels, and I bring my own wine, and I'm like, shoot, I forgot the corkscrew, and darn hotel doesn't have
it. Now I have to break the bottle open and drink it like this.
But anyway, this lovely item is from Lehman Designs Prime Line, ASI 66920, and it's leather, too. It's cowhide, and it's just lovely.
It's fancy. Mm-hmm.
Jakey.
Nice. Well, when I was asked to do this, I really found something cool.
Yes.
But it doesn't really relate to the summertime anymore. The pom-pom winter hat, the knit hat, is a hip, cool thing. And if you look at the post on the page, you'll see a musician in this. This band made merch this winter that was the Dr. Dog pom-pom winter hats that sold like mad. You can find them, though, in our industry from supplier 97595, Wisconsin Knitwear, Inc.
Do you have one?
I have multiple.
You should wear one
on your blog.
You should wear it on your blog.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will wear it on my blog. Warm, functional, and fun. Reminds me of the 70s and skiing.
Awesome. And you could probably
still... Yeah, baby!
You could still use it in some areas of the country if you're still skiing or whatever.
Skiing, yeah.
Skiing?
Well, the ski season's only really two-thirds over. We've still got a few months left.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I'm saying, Jake.
Well, speaking of the 70s, my favorite product is a gold charm that's got crystals in it, and it's initial charms, which is pulled out of the halcyon days of the 70s.
Yep.
And these items are from American Apparel from the new jewelry line, ASI 35297. So, again, all of this is on our website at asicentral.com/radio. And now we're going to go to Joan. Tell us about the five-second rule, which does not have to do with food, I understand. It has to do with sales and marketing.
Well, that's if you drop something, you can eat it real quick. But no, this is, you know, the number one complaint of many advertisers is that they're not getting any response. They're getting mediocre reception to their ads. So you need to make an impact quickly. And one of the things with television and radio, they say begin with humor or an educational fact, something surprising, a jingle, and mention the offers at the beginning. For direct mail, you want to have a coupon on the outside of the mailer. Of course, we all know, too, promotional products. Mm-hmm. You know, have it lumpy, have it have a weird shape to it, something different that's going to catch their eye. And avoid those bait-and-switch tactics. You don't want it to make it look like it's an IRS letter or a free check. You know, people are just going to throw it away.
I hate that.
I hate it, too.
And then with email marketing.
I like stickers.
You would.
Jake likes stickers.
For email marketing, you want to, you know, the subject line is the king. So you want to focus your energy on making that great and brief. Don't, you know, have this big long thing. And before sending your email, make sure you run it through a free spam checker.
Good point.
And I didn't even know there were spam checkers.
Yeah.
Oh, Kathy.
I know.
Oh, silly Kathy.
And avoid too many images, because then you run the risk of having the person, it won't open it. It takes forever, and they're going to say, "Who the heck with it?"
A lot of people just open that on their smartphone, and they don't have time for our images.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're out of time today, so thank you to Kathy, Joan, and Jake, my host for today, and Vinny and Craig. And we will be back on the radio with the regular host next week on Tuesday at 10:30.
Woohoo!
Bye.
Yeah.